again. This is the old. Good morning, man. Kermit Edney with program 96 in a 260 program series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years. It follows the same format as the great historical series done by Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. Today, Walter B. Smith, a king, his relationship to a famous poet, and Billy Graham's father-in-law gets an invitation to come and see the apple blossoms. The North Carolina Apple Festival has always selected a beautiful young lady to serve as apple queen. In the early days of the festival, they used to also select a king. Now, this contest was more of a joke and a petty money raiser than an actual judging between individual candidates. Votes were a penny apiece, and as I remember, you could nominate anybody you wanted to for as little as a buck. Each candidate has his own jars placed on counters throughout the county. In 1951, Walter was nominated. Now, the average guy would have taken this as a joke, smile with a tongue-in-cheek expression, and try to ignore his involvement. All told, there were 11 candidates for king in 1951, including the highly popular Sheriff Bill McCall. Walter began to take a great deal of interest in his jars, and handfuls of pennies began pouring in. When all the jars were counted, Walter had edged out Sheriff McCall to become King of the Apple Festival. He even had his picture published with a caption on his election in the St. Petersburg Evening Independent. Walter was a frequent visitor to St. Petersburg, the city which gave Hendersonville the idea of the green benches on Main Street. In Hendersonville, back then, we were referred to as the St. Petersburg of the summer, and Walter claimed the title of the official ambassador. In fact, when the Sunshine Skyway Bridge was built over Tampa Bay, connecting Tampa and St. Pete, Walter claimed the bridge was named for him, Walter B. Smith, B as in Bull, S as in Sunshine, and it's the Sunshine Skyway. By the way, after Walter had been elected Apple King, the contest was discontinued, but he kept the title the rest of his life. One warm spring night in 1964, Walter burst into our house next to the Deluxe Service Station on Chimney Rock Road and said, "I want you to call Dr. Bell right now and invite him to come over and see the apple blossoms." Now, the bloom was unusually beautiful that year, and the delightful aroma wafted through almost the entire east side of the county. I knew at once the Dr. Bell Walter was referring to was Ruth Bell Graham's father, the father-in-law of Reverend Billy Graham, who lived at Montreat. "Walter, this is ridiculous. Dr. Bell doesn't need an invitation to drive over here and look at the apple blossoms." "But this man deserves a personal invitation," Walter argued. I continued to refuse to make the call until about 10 p.m., and it became obvious the only way I was going to get Walter to leave was to make that call. So with great trepidation, I dialed Dr. Bell's number. Dr. Bell answered, and I was stunned by his warm, friendly welcome to my call, and then he said, "You can't imagine how relieved I am that you called. Because Walter had told me earlier today I'd get a special invitation, and knowing Walter, I knew I'd be getting this phone call, and I was afraid it might come at 2 or 3 in the morning, so that now that you've called, I can now go to bed." Walter did have a strong insight into being able to conjure up the spectacular, which would be marketable to newspapers across the country. One night, arriving in a blaze of enthusiasm, he announced that I was to get in touch with the old goat man, that's Carl Sandburg to Walter, and have him pose alongside of Thomas Wolfe's angel in Oakdale Cemetery. "One literary great remembers and pays homage to our own literary giant. It'll make the NEA telephoto wire." Well, this time I was adamant. "Walter, I am not going to bother Carl Sandburg and ask him to go stand next to a statue in Oakdale Cemetery. I'm not sure Sandburg ever even read of any of Thomas Wolfe's writings, and there's always a degree of professional rivalry between famous artists. I remembered when Sandburg was to appear on the same stage with Robert Frost when I was a student at Carolina, and Sandburg created quite a furore when he was quoted in the student newspaper as saying, quote, 'Reading Robert Frost is like playing tennis without a net.' This time Walter recognized he'd struck a raw nerve with me and left. Less than a week later, I picked up the morning paper, and there standing out boldly in the center of the page was that picture, Carl Sandburg, with his hand touching Tom Wolfe's angel. I have no idea as to how Walter Smith arranged it." Walter watched the construction of, quote, "My Highway" in the early 60s, which had been started on the stretch from East Flat Rock to Hendersonville. Then they built the leg onto Asheville, at last finished the spectacular stretch down the mountain to Tryon. In early June of 1964, Walter came and sat down in my office and wanted assurance that he was going to live long enough to see his highway finished. It was obvious that Walter now was a sick man, but I joked with him, "Walter, you're going to outlive me." But then I did step into another office and called his dear friend Mayor Al Edwards and told him of Walter's condition. In a few minutes, the mayor arrived, picked up Walter, and took him to the VA hospital at Otine, where he died just a few months before his beloved Smith Highway was ever finished. Another memory of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.